news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined. Time can't be.
Well, hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother JS, to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yeah, we hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. Today, we introduce the next episode of The Man, The Myth, The Legend, Jack Bauer, and Other Stuff, Part 4. And here's a trigger warning for all those sensitive types out there. There will be no trigger warnings issued during the course of this podcast. It is your prerogative to be offended by something I might say, but I definitely have no obligation to prepare you in advance, nor apologize for my ideas before I so much as speak my thoughts. You don't maintain the right to shut me up. Now, you do have the right not to listen. And in this podcast series, we will touch upon, as is probably already obvious, a frightening array of subjects, including but not limited to what the exercise of raw power looks like, the saving of a nation from absolute devastation that might be initiated by foreign enemy nations, by ruthless terrorist organizations, whom operate as if the value of human life is asymptotic to zero. In other words, it's of no value whatsoever. Or the devastation brought on by a liberal Ninth Circuit court, judges in San Francisco whom would ruin whole cities by arguing that the homeless have the constitutional right to sleep anywhere on the streets, sidewalks, local parks, essentially anywhere they might want to in public spaces. And that local ordinances banning or restricting the right to sleep or urban camp, as is now euphemistically referred to this activity of sleeping on public sidewalks, streets, or in parks. It's unenforceable, these bans, these ordinances, as a matter of law. Now, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, during oral arguments just the day before yesterday, I believe it was, tipped off how she would rule by stating that sleeping is a basic human right that must be protected by law, thus making clear her view that sleeping on the streets is a right not to be denied anybody in the USA. Though I suggest she is of a most hypocritical nature. Try sleeping just in front of her house and exercising your fundamental human rights to exercise your bowels, and try taking a crap just outside Justice Sotomayor's front door. You'll soon experience firsthand what every reasonable, responsible, civic-minded person already knows, that to sleep and defecate in front of somebody's home is disgusting. The hypocritical nature of the purported tolerance as practiced by the allegedly most tolerant of judges will be demonstrated. Authorities will be called to have you removed, and rightfully so, because sleeping and defecating in front of someone's home is a theoretical fundamental human right as determined by liberal courts, provided it's your home in which people sleep and defecate, not where liberal justices live. It's disgusting. It's a health hazard. But we already know this. Justice Sotomayor's moral compass makes her weak. She refuses to recognize it is standards that ensure and laws that serve as the superstructure of all civilized society. But she is a slave to all forms of perceived victimhood. the intersectionality of slavery and victimization for this Latina woman. Justice is as complex as a neural network. She's got a problem with white people in particular, especially males, and Western civilization in general. It must be frustrating being caged in a society where she is smarter than white men. For all roads lead not to Rome, but to victimization. And as she told the world in no uncertain terms in 2009, I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experiences would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life. Well, it is in the face of this kind of insanity we need men like Jack Bauer, more men like Jack Bauer, like Martin Luther King before him. Jack Bauer does not see color or gender. He sees only right and wrong and measures people solely by the content of their character and their individual merits. DEI programs prove unnecessary when one behaves guided by such principles, instincts, and metrics. And he's a proud American patriot too. To move us from the micro discriminatory Latina justice to the macro international perspective, let's try a thought experiment for a moment to put us in the right frame of mind, you know, sort of the big picture, if you will. So imagine this. Just beyond our northern border, there lies not the great nation of Canada, despite some of its more nutty, kooky, woke social policies. It's just a country filled with mostly very friendly people whom also happen to be insane hockey fanatics, just very lovable Canucks. But rather than instead, imagine we share a border just north with the fanatical state of Iran, under the direction of its mullahs and led by its supreme leader, who will be 85 in July, making the brain-impaired Joe Biden look like a spring chicken in comparison. These mullahs, by the way, are not fans of the LGBTQIA community. No, they are not. In fact, the broader context in the year 2024 is that 10 Muslim nations still criminalize homosexuality. Upon conviction, the punishment, the death penalty. I mean, this is serious business here. And the quality of life for women in these nations and in Iran in particular, not good. With all those self-appointed morals police running around, policing the streets, beating the crap out of women for lacking proper headscarves and covers, without male guardians, inappropriate dress, and forced, female genital mutilation. Yikes. How'd you like to wake up and find these guys as your closest northern neighbor? Yeah, yet whether Iran be a proximate neighbor or half a world away, the U.S. has enemies, nation states, terror organizations, and lone wolves who mean to do us harm. Iran refers to America as the great Satan, and we should take them at their word. And this is not a term of endearment. Were Iran to be just north of our border, there's no way, I don't think, you'd be hiking around Bemidji, Minnesota, or even 100 miles north of Seattle for that matter, and cruising the inside passage of Alaska. That would make as much sense as deciding to sail the Straits of Hormuz for fun during your next spring break. No? But no matter the source, the nature, the origin of the threat, you really better hope the man, the myth, the legend that is Jack Bauer, that he might be available to lend you personally and the nation as a whole his unmatched talents and commitments to root out evil and do in bad guys rather than depending on Joe, do you want to do a push-up contest with me, Biden, or any member of his corrupt and nutty family for help in keeping you, your loved ones, or the nation safe from harm and threat? As an aside, maybe Joe Biden got confused a few years ago and actually was offering that Iowan, that guy in Iowa, not an opportunity to see Joe do push-ups, but rather was inviting that Iowan to see up close Joe's pull-ups. Maybe that was the confusion, not push-ups, pull-ups, of which Joe was rightfully proud to pull on each morning, perhaps without medical assistance. But we just won't ever know. No matter, it definitely was a very weird incident, was it not? That incident in Iowa when Joe was so much younger than he's older than that now. That seems to ring a bell. That much is clear. I mean, it's strange and ironic, wouldn't you say, that so much of Joe Biden's real life story is fake. He just makes stuff up, tells us it's real, but it's not. It never happened. Never. For example, Joe Biden's father was not a coal miner, even though Joe told us that in a speech. While all of Jack Bauer's life is true fiction. You know, Jack earned his BA in English literature from Cal Berkeley. He had a master's in science and criminology and law from Cal Berkeley. Post-master's, he enlisted in the U.S. Army. Later, he graduated from OCS. He was infantry. After a stint in special forces, he joined the Delta Force. And given his skill set and character, it should come then as no surprise, he earned many, many commendations, including a Silver Star, Purple Heart. He was a Legion of Merit award winner. He received airborne, air assault, and ranger training. Jack Bauer, if nothing else, he was prepared for anything to protect us. Jack Bauer was a modern-day David Hackworth, America's most decorated military hero ever, with over 100 medals won, excluding only maybe General Douglas MacArthur. But he owed so many of his commendations to the work of his personal, public relations staff, whom dedicated themselves, at Doug's orders, 24/7 to achieving one sole objective: promoting the legend that was Dugout Doug MacArthur, to make that man appear heroic, no matter how many takes it might take to show General MacArthur determinedly wading ashore on the island of Leyte in the Philippines. My God, he had returned, though it is debatable just how many Filipinos, if any, actually wanted this guy back on their soil anytime soon. Though it must be admitted, and I do admit, MacArthur's acceptance speech of Japanese surrender aboard the USS Missouri was one of utmost dignity, and his best professional work easily may have been adjudged his duties performed as a supreme commander for Allied powers in Tokyo post-Japanese surrender. That and his Old Soldiers Never Die speech, which was just outstanding. And the latter, Old Soldiers Never Die, should not be confused with Mick Jagger's great song, Old Habits Die Hard, which is true enough. Back to Jack Bauer. After 12 hair-raising years of intensive service in the previously mentioned distinct specialized military branch units, Jack then served a stint with LAPD, where he came to learn the intricacies inherent in managing the affairs of large civilian populations in times of extreme civil distress before he moved on to who knows what kind of clandestine work and duties he performed for the CIA, after which Jack Bauer was now sufficiently ready and fully prepared, locked and loaded, as I said, to be recruited into the counterterrorism unit, CTU. And Jack Bauer demonstrated superlative, world-class proficiency with firearms of all types, high explosives, electronic devices, and was more than adept at utilizing computers to mine all sorts of raw data and to turn that raw IT information and to turn it into all, you know, something meaningful information in support of tactical operations with speed, efficiency, and he demonstrated the synthesizing skills such that he was personally a living, breathing microprocessor, rivaling even first generation AI as we know it today. I mean, Jack Bauer was the man. Yet there was so much more to Jack Bauer, but we'll take a break here and return to discuss Jack Bauer's strength of character and willingness to go to the extra mile, or even a marathon if forced to, when he is forced to deal with China, a force to be reckoned with, a country with a long history of not tolerating, well, any dissent from orthodoxy. A nation that sees no value wasting time in virtue signaling. They do what has to be done. And Jack Bauer was a threat to be dealt with. And this is where we'll begin our next session. So thanks for listening and hope you'll tune in again soon.
See you.